We're going to talk about temptation. Anybody in here ever been tempted? You don't have to tell me what your temptations are today. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We had a great discussion on Wednesday night as we looked at the Lord being tempted. We'll talk a little bit about that today, but the important thing that I want you to know is that the Lord, He has no desire for you to fall. Some people think that God's out to get him, and God wants to hurt him, and God's trying to trick him. And the scriptures are clear that that is not the case at all. And our reminder today is that we need to pray, Lord, lead us not. Help us not yield to temptation. And so hopefully you'll be encouraged by that this morning. Let's look together, Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in verse 9, again, go through the Lord's Prayer. And I hope that as we even read through this now, you've been through this enough weeks now, right? That as you think of these phrases, that they have a little bit deeper meaning. And even as you read it, you can pray it. And ask that this actually come to pass, even as Jesus modeled it for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the scripture says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." I wanted to start you off with the illustration from Rich Debler, and I thought this was pretty appropriate and kind of get us in the right frame of mind. He says, "Some years ago, while our family was vacationing in northern Minnesota, we decided to visit a small county fair near the town of Babbitt. There weren't many people there that morning. In fact, we were about the only ones visiting the carnival rides. So when I climbed into the big tilt-a-wheel with my three kids, we hoped the operator would give us a decent ride, even though we were the only ones on it." Anybody ever been on a tilt-a-wheel? Getting the feeling already, okay? "Little did we know what we were getting ourselves into. The first few minutes were rather fun. We laughed and enjoyed the funny feeling inside our stomachs. But after a while, it got not to be so much fun. And after some more time, way past the length of an ordinary ride, I began to feel queasy. I wanted to get out, but I couldn't. First, we were going too fast to escape. Second, the centrifugal force had me pressed firmly against the back of the car. I was immobilized. Every time we spun past the operator, I looked pleadingly at him. 'Please read my eyes. I need to get off.' But the operator kept the ride going. I guess he thought he'd let it run until more customers showed up. After another few minutes, the ride became miserable. The funny feeling inside my stomach had turned to a churning concoction that had a faint resemblance of my morning's breakfast. I had no control over my life. I was caught going around in circles, held down by a merciless carnival ride operator. Only after what seemed like 3 or 4 hours did he finally relent and stop the ride. I'm sure I look completely green by this time. I staggered off the platform and made it about 20 feet where I bent over and lost my breakfast. Of course, my kids gathered around, cheering me on. They thought this was the best part of the ride." Isn't that great to have kids like that? "If you're caught in the grip of a diabolical ride that started out fun but has turned into an addiction, or if you're going around in circles and you're powerless to get off, you know the helpless feeling of losing control of your life. You know what it means to need God's supernatural help to stop the ride so you can escape." You guys, we're going to be in this theme and this idea for a while, for the next few months. And we talked about it with the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son, the day he woke up and he was throwing out slop to the pigs? And he was so hungry, he looked at the slop and he's like, "Man, I wonder what that tastes like." And he had that moment where he woke up. "What am I doing? I know my dad's slaves. They eat, they have 3 meals a day. They have a warm place to stay. They have a job. I will go be a slave. What am I even thinking?" And what happens in our own spiritual life sometimes is we get on that carnival ride. We're doing the same things over and over and over, the same pains over and over, and we don't know how to get off the ride. Does that make sense to anyone? And so what we're going to ask the Lord today is, Lord, lead us not into a temptation where we would give in and get into that place. And then over the next few months, we're even going to be getting this idea, Lord, how do you help us get off the ride? And that's what we're going to help a lot of other people too as well. So today, let's focus on lead us not into temptation. Let's start with the facts. I think this is really important. First fact today, God does not tempt us. He does not solicit us to sin. Have you ever seen those signs in your HOAs that say, no solicitors? Right? What's a solicitor do? Hey, let me sell you something. Hey, I got something you need, right? Here's what I want to happen to you. Well, what the scripture reminds us very clearly is that God does not want you to sin. God is not trying to take you down or tell you down or hurt you. He is not tempt you. So let's look in James chapter 1, verse 13. The scripture very clearly says, when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown or finished, it gives birth to death. Okay. First fact today, God is not out to get you. God doesn't tempt you. Now, does God test you? Absolutely, right? Nancy just shared with us about this week how she's going to be tested. Okay. Now, there may be some temptations in the testing, but God does not desire anybody to fall. His desire is to hold us up during the test. But he's not in any way does he desire for us to sin. But you kind of see the process of sin as we read those verses in James. Listen again. But each one is tempted when by their own evil desire, they're dragged away, they're enticed, and when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown or when it's finished, it gives birth to death. That's the process of how things work. So first, you either see or hear or something comes into your senses, and that triggers something in your mind, and you make a decision about that. If you give into that decision, then it gives birth to sin. And then if you stay in that sin, ultimately, you're going to be on the carnival ride. Okay? So for us, the best route, the best alternative is to not yield to temptation in the first place, right? And that's where the Lord's Prayer comes in. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lord, let us not be yield to temptation today. And I want to remind you, what's this, the Lord's Prayer say? Give us our, what's the first thing? Our daily bread. This is a daily prayer. You don't pray once, Lord, help me not be tempted, and just get along fine. You pray every day for God to help you through temptation. So I know everybody in this room, we could go down the line today, and everybody, and it'd probably be slightly different. You have that besetting temptation that hits you often. It's a regular thing, and for you, it's a regular problem that you're resisting. And so what I'm encouraging you today is the part of the Lord's Prayer is so important is that it's daily that we should be praying, Lord, lead us not. So important that we pray daily. We're getting that all from the Lord's Prayer. Okay, that was your first fact. Second fact this morning. God does test us. He tested Job, and he tested Joseph, and so many others. So we've got to discern between temptings and testings. This is a difficult thing, I think. Sometimes you've got to know when to fight and when to run. As we thought about the suffering church today, I think the same thing holds true, doesn't it? There's sometimes, as the suffering persecuted church, that you're going to go underground, right? Do you guys realize that there are tons of churches that meet underground, okay? They have like secret passcodes and door knocks and ways to get in for them to meet together and to know if somebody is really a spy or somebody's really part of the church. That there's places, that's where people, that's what their reality is for them to go to church, okay? And there's a time that you do hide for protection. But then there's also a time that you stand up and you boldly proclaim the truth. You realize that? And we've seen people that do that, right? Remember when I asked Sindhu, I was like, Sindhu, how do people know? Like, how are you being persecuted? How do they know that you're a Christian? He said, well, it's because we're out in the gospel preaching. Okay? There's a time to boldly proclaim the truth of the gospel. And so we have to kind of discern those things. And that's, again, why we need the Lord's Prayer and the daily prayer to know, Lord, what do I need to do today? Am I being bold and confrontational, or am I being, you know, protective? And so we need to understand those things, and prayer helps us do that. So I want to keep that on our mind today. Again, God does test us. So keep that in mind today. Number three, the third fact today. I love this truth, and I hope you find it encouraging today. All testing and even tempting is filtered through God's hands. Do you realize that? Everything, and I mean everything that comes into your life, has already been filtered by the hands of God. He knows exactly what you can handle. He knows what's going to come your way. He knows that the difficulties that are going to come your way. He's already filtered that. And so what that tells me is then he also knows that if I will lean onto him and trust onto him, that he will care for me through those difficult things. Again, the idea of our verse even today could be worded, Lord, do not allow us to enter temptation, or do not let us yield to temptation. The idea is keep us from those sins which we are inclined to accept. So even as you sit there today and as you're listening to the preacher talk today, and you think about those sins, that the ones that are really hard for you to fight against, your reminder here today is, Lord, when you pray, Lord, help me not to yield to temptation. I'm going to take a little bit of a detour here for a second, and I want you to think with me, and we've had this discussion a little bit, but we didn't go into it in detail on Wednesday night, but I want to challenge you just a little bit about this, and I hope that you'll understand. Maybe we can make sure we're on the same page later on. Most would say that it is never a sin to be tempted, just to give in to temptation. Would you agree with that? Is it wrong to be tempted? Jesus was tempted. Did he sin? No, right? There's a specific example of someone being tempted that we know did not sin, so we know that that temptation was not a sin. But here's what I want you to hang on to with me this morning. Sometimes, once we realize we are being tempted, we may have already given in to the sin part. Let's see if I can help you follow what I'm saying today. For some sins, the tempting part happens in the mind. So I had a theology professor in Bible college, and he said, I would always much rather you just think about hitting me with a baseball bat than to actually do that. Right? Now, the truth of the matter, and here's what I want you to think about today. If I'm thinking about hitting you with something because I'm so angry with you, have I already given in to temptation? Yes. I have not acted on that, and I'm glad that I haven't, or glad that you haven't, so to speak. But the truth of the matter is, I have already given in to temptation as I dwell on the thought. Another example would be worry, right? We don't have anybody in here that worries at all, do we? Some people, they won't admit it, but they like to worry. They actually almost enjoy it a little bit. They think about something that they're not even sure, they have no control over it, they dwell on it a little bit. And then they're going to dwell on it a little bit more, and they dwell on it a little bit more, and then they get stirred up, and they get all concerned and stressed out. Is there sin there? The temptation is to dwell on it. Now, if you have something, a care comes in your mind, and you're worried about that, you give it to the Lord, and you let it go, and the next day you may have to give it to the Lord again, okay? You follow what I'm saying? That's the proper procedure in that. But if I really want to kind of engage with that worry and really think about it, and, oh, what if I could do this and this and this, and how's it going? Oh, life is so hard on me. You're dwelling on that thought. Okay, this one's probably the clearest one, and you guys, I think I need to just have men's meetings more often because this is where this stuff hits home to me. I think lust is a perfect example of this idea. For example, a man is tempted to act, but he only thinks about acting, and therefore he permits himself to think about his lust, because by not acting, he is not giving into temptation. And you know how men word this? They call it window shopping. You ever heard a man say, well, there's nothing wrong with window shopping? Do you know what he's talking about? He's saying it's okay for me to dwell on that woman, to think about her in my mind. That's okay. As long as I don't actually touch her or act on that, I'm okay. But in my mind, Jesus says, if I've already committed lust in my heart, I've committed what? Adultery. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? We would say, oh, I'm not an adulterer. I've never cheated on my wife. Have you ever dwelled on somebody else and fantasized about them in your mind? Guess what? You might just say, well, that was just temptation. Well, if you've dwelled on your mind, you've given into the temptation. Okay, and again, I would much rather you not commit the act. But the problem is we've got to keep our heart close to the Lord so that as those things come in our mind, we can quickly push them out. And part of the way we do that is how? The Lord's Prayer. If I'm every day in my Lord's Prayer, if I'm every day reminding myself, Lord, lead me not into temptation today. I need you today. You know what it is. Whether it's worry, whether it's lust, whether it's hatred in my heart, whether it's gossip, whether it's greed, whether it's slander, whatever those things are that, they're not necessarily actions, but we can dwell on them in our mind. We've got to pray, Lord, help me today. Lead me not into temptation today. Everybody tracking with me now? I think you are, and that's really good. I want to make sure we're on the same page there. So we want the Lord even to purify our hearts and our minds, not even just our actions, but all the way down to our heart, so that he will be pleased with who we are. Again, on occasions like this, we are instructed to pray, lead us not to temptation. So here's what I want to ask you again today. What temptations have you been facing lately? What have you been battling lately? My encouragement to you today is daily pray, Lord, help me not to yield to temptation, and when possible, lead me away from it. And here's why I say when possible. We've talked about the three Hebrew boys a lot this year, right? Now, there was temptation for them to do what? To bow, right? Now, did the Lord cause the temptation? No. The devil, by the way, that's the big difference, by the way. The Lord, he wants to lead you through temptation, and the devil uses it to tear you down. There is someone that wants you to fall. There's someone that wants to take you out. And we can see that even in the Jesus temptation on the mountain. But what you see with the three Hebrew boys is that, and many times, you see it with Daniel, you see it even with Stephen, you see people who were facing tests. And even in those tests, they needed the Lord to help them. But sometimes the Lord doesn't just completely shelter us from temptation. Don't you wish that's the way it was? Right? Don't you wish that? Like, I'm having this temptation. Lord, just hide it all and put me in a different place. Beat me up, Scotty, right? That idea, right? Get me in a different location so I don't even have to worry about it. But a lot of times the Lord takes us through those things and helps us navigate through those things so that we'll be stronger, and a lot of times so that we can help one another. You know, one of the most powerful things that you can do for another person is when you've been through a temptation, you've been through a battle, is that you can share your story with them. Wow. You can really help somebody that way. Some of you guys have been through some things, haven't you? I mean, I don't even know everybody's stories in here. I know a little bit about everybody's story in here, and I'm pretty impressed with where you are and what you've become in the midst of what you've been through. But the Lord can use that time. That's why a lot of times he takes us through that. Okay, Jesus is our example. Notice that Jesus finds victory over temptation in prayer and in Scripture as well. When he's on the mountain, he's facing the devil, or whether he's in the garden facing his ultimate task, Jesus is fasting and praying in the former time and sweating drops of blood in the latter. He finds a way through. And Wednesday night was so powerful to look at how the devil was tempting the Lord. And we learned a lot of things. I'm not going to go over the whole thing, but just a few quick things. First thing we kind of thought and really noticed was that Jesus had just spent 40 days with his Father. He'd been fasting, but he'd been spending focused time. So I'd imagine that his spiritual relationship was probably one of those times where, from an earthly perspective, an earthly mind, that would be our mountaintop experience. That'd be about as close as we could be, right? I mean, imagine if you and I spent even 2 weeks of fasting and daily we were praying, do you think that we would feel close to the Lord? And notice, that's when the devil came. You hearing what we're saying today? I think the Lord revealed that to us to say, hey, you may think everything's good and we're in a good relationship, but that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to come. As a matter of fact, if you're doing well, the devil's probably going to come at you a little harder because he wants to take you out. And that's what he did in the example with our Lord. It is imperative. I could say this 100 times, it would not be enough. It is imperative to know the Scriptures. When we study this on Wednesday night, every single time, what did Jesus say in response to the devil? Every time, he said, it is written. And so we were reminded that if we're going to engage the devil, we need to know the Scriptures. And the second temptation, the devil even tried to use the Scriptures against Jesus. Megan had a really good point on Wednesday night about how that sometimes even today people are distorting God's word. And they will distort God's word to try to trip you up and tear you down. And that's why we got to know the Scriptures. It isn't going to help you in a discussion when you're talking with someone and you say, well, I'm not really sure, but you can talk to my preacher. You've got to know the Scriptures for yourself. You've got to know it in your heart, right? And that's what we learned from that as well. And finally, one thing we thought about that was very interesting is that the devil will try to make you think that he is in charge and that he can grant you whatever you want if only you'll bow down to him and his ways. Now, I don't think anybody in here is ever tempted to think, oh, I'm going to go bow down to the devil. But the devil will slip something in and say, you know what? You could have this if you would let go of that a little bit. You can have your cake and eat it too. So many different examples for that. And so our message today is never bow down. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and him alone, right? That was his response. All right, so finally, our last fact this morning. This is not a prayer that we would never be tempted. And temptation is a part of growth in the Christian life. Even Jesus himself prayed not that we would be taken away from temptation, but that we would be delivered from the evil one. And we'll look at that next week, right? Deliver us from evil, very specifically. Jesus didn't pray that we would never be tempted, but we're praying that we would not yield to temptation. John 17:15, here's the prayer. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one, right? That's Daniel in the lion's den. That's the three Hebrew boys in the fire. That's all the prophets who were suffering. And that's in your life too. The Lord is not saying, he's not praying to his Father, Lord, take him out so everything's easy. He's praying that you won't be given over to the devil, but you'll have strength to stand. We can pray that the Lord will help us not to yield to temptation, and we can pray that every day. A quick review here this morning. Temptation comes from three sources. Anybody know what they are? You should. It's on the screen, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil himself. What's temptation from the world look like?
Entertainment. A lot of it, to me, it's advertising, right? The world says, well, this is what everybody else has got. This is what you should have, right? Everybody else is eating at, put in your favorite restaurant. You should be able to eat there.
Everybody else has two cars. Everybody else has an iPhone. Everybody else has a nice house, whatever you would put in there. That's what the world does. The world says, be like us. Be accepted, be like us. And there's so much temptation in that, isn't there? We are tempted in that. We don't even know it. Our culture does that to us. Then there's the flesh. What's that temptation? I think sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Sometimes the temptation is just from us. I want, I gotta have, I need, right? Hey, number one right here. I'm sure none of you can compete with this. I am tempted by my flesh. I need, I gotta have, whatever, okay? But what I want you also to note, and the reason that I say this, because the scripture teaches us this, is that the devil is actively involved in temptation as well. Again, James says that the Lord doesn't tempt anyone, but the devil definitely does. So as you're drawing close to Christ, don't be surprised that the devil would not try to attack you. So we got to be on our guard against all three of these sources of temptation. Again, our prayer is a prayer that God would make us mindful, help us watch for these things that would ensnare us, that he would lead us through the minefields of the world and not lead us into anything that might trap us or seize us. We saw a really neat little thing on Wednesday night. It was good. I wanted to share with you today about when temptation comes and see if you can identify with this. The word was halt. And this is when a lot of people are most tempted. H-A-L-T, halt. Anybody guess what the H is for? Hungry. Anybody ever tempted when you're hungry? The illustration I used on Wednesday night was that if Wendy and I go to the grocery store and we haven't eaten supper yet, look out. We are filling up the cart, right? And usually what we try to do is we go to eat before we go grocery shopping, and you know what happens? Then we don't have enough groceries for the week because we're full. We're like, oh, we don't need that. Right? That's how temptation works, isn't it? Hungry. How about angry? Now, Scripture says, don't let the sun set on your anger, right? Which is a great piece of wisdom. If you go to bed angry and you get up and you're already dwelling again on that thing, you think temptation is going to have a way into your heart? Definitely, right? The L is for lonely. Do people make bad decisions and give it temptation when they're lonely? Now, sometimes you don't think you have control over that, but really, in a lot of ways, if we'll be a loving, friendly person, guess what? You're going to be less likely to be lonely. And I'm not saying that you won't still be lonely, but as a church's response is that we should make sure that we're loving people in our church who that we're making sure that they're not lonely as best as we can too, right? So H-A-L-T, we want to halt. So you're hungry or you're angry or you're lonely, and the last one is the worst one for me, that's you're tired. Don't raise your hands. But is anybody here tired today? Yeah. What do you tempted to do when you're tired? I just cave. If Brooklyn and Isaiah came to me when I was tired and they've been bugging me about something for a while, oh, I don't care. Just ask your mom. Let's be done with it. Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we do the same thing when we're tired with something else, right? I can't resist it. I just give up. Whatever. I'm just tired. Just do it. So the point is for us, and again, as much as we're able, we don't always have control over all these things, but if we can try to take care of ourselves in a healthy way, we can try to avoid the hunger, avoid the anger, avoid the loneliness, avoid being the tired. That will help us as we fight temptations. And then recognize when we're in those states to kind of have our senses up a little more alert, because we know that the devil might be after us then. All right, here's a quote from Thomas Manton I thought was good. He says, "It is true that God may try us and trouble us and toss us, exercise our faith, our hope, and our patience. God is the author of our trouble, but the devil is the author of our sin, who sinneth himself and soliciteth others to sin." Earlier I said God doesn't solicit anyone to sin, but the devil definitely does. And here's a good truth for you this morning, okay? This verse gets abused a ton, so I want to be careful about that, but I want you to take it for what it really means, and you can find encouragement today. That is 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you have your Bibles, you can turn over there if you want. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 13. This is a great truth, especially as we think about dealing with temptation. The scripture says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, hang on to this with me, all right? Can you, everybody, listen close. I don't want you to ever abuse this passage. I don't want the devil to use it against you either. This passage does not say to you that God won't give you more than you can handle, more than you can stand. Have any of you ever been in a place where you had more than you can bear? Please, right? Come on now. When I think of different people and some of the grief they've borne and they've been through, I think especially about my brother and his wife, Kelly, and the things that they went through with losing a child. That is definitely more than you can bear. The stress is more than you can bear. And it's okay to say that. But I want you to see what the passage says. It says that God will make a way of escape for temptation. The temptation when you're going through incredible grief or suffering like that they were going through is to give up on God. The temptation for Job was curse God and die. His own wife told him that, right? That's the temptation. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have more stress than you can handle. We all have more stress than we can handle. We all have times where we just are completely stressed out. But the point of the matter is the Lord says, if you will cling to me even in those times, I can help you navigate them and you can escape the temptation. Okay? So don't use this as an encouragement to someone when they're going through like one of the hardest times in their life to say, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. No, that's not what he says. He says he'll make a way of escape. If you will cling to him in these times, that he will hold on to you. So don't forget that today. And finally, don't forget the us statement, right? Our Father, give us our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. And finally, what today? Lead what? Lead who? Lead me not into temptation. We're not alone, people. You are not alone. Everybody in this room this week and the previous week that we've had has faced temptation of some sort, right? So don't, in that sense, find courage in one another. You're not alone in that battle. And then this week, what does that mean about our own prayer life? When I'm praying about my temptation and my battle that I'm facing, what else should be on my heart? I should be praying for Isaiah's battle and for Diane's battle and for Wendy's battle and Rick and Todd's battle and Jada's battle, right? Because it's an us thing. And I'm so kind of Nancy to share her heart today. This week, she's going to face some struggle. And so we're going to love Nancy and Michael by praying for them, right? And then the next week, whenever it's Todd and Donna, or it's Wendy, or it's Charlotte, Michael and Nancy are going to pray for them. You get it? The Lord's Prayer is an us thing. So we've got to make sure we remember one another. Sintel and Esther, what an encouragement they are to us. We pray for them, right? Even the people that aren't here today, Christina and Dustin, we pray for them that they grow, and then we see that they be encouraged, right? So don't forget that today, that the Lord's Prayer is an us thing. All right, I'll close this illustration, and we'll call it a day this morning. But this is from Lieutenant Ian McConnell, and I want you to take the gravity of what he's saying. It's about Katrina. Helicopter pilot Ian McConnell, along with the rest of his air station crew, were summoned at 4 a.m. on the morning of August 30th, 2005, to the Coast Guard Aviation Training Center in Mobile, Alabama. The center soon became one of the first bases of operations for Hurricane Katrina relief. McConnell and his crew were told to keep five H-60 helicopters airborne on missions at all times around the clock. So you can imagine the jeopardy and the danger they were taking. The first airborne relief teams arrived in the affected areas before any news crews and were completely unprepared for the devastation they saw. A train track running parallel to the ocean had been pushed inland 15 feet off its gravel bed. A houseboat was floating down U.S. Highway 90. The entire city of New Orleans stood underwater. McConnell's crew got right to work, airlifting stranded people from rooftops and out of windows and delivering them to the Superdome helipad. But to their chagrin, however, they were only able to help a relatively few amount of survivors. In an interview, McConnell shared why. He said, "On our first three missions, we saved the lives of 89 people and three dogs and even a cat. But on the fourth mission, to our great frustration, we saved no one. But not for lack of trying. The dozens we attempted to rescue refused pickup. Some people told us simply to bring them food and water. We said, 'You are trying to live in unhealthy conditions and the water will stay high for a long time,' and we warned them, but still they refused. And I felt frustrated and angry since we had used up precious time and fuel, had put ourselves at risk during each rescue attempt." And here's what he says. Note this on the slide. "I felt like they were ungrateful, but in truth, they did not know how desperate their situation was." Let me read that to you again, okay? "I felt like they were ungrateful, but in truth, they did not know how desperate their situation was." Can you guys hang on to that thought this morning? We need the Lord's help. And sometimes we think everything's okay, and the Lord's prayer is a reminder to us, "Lord, today, lead me not into temptation." All right? Let's stand for prayer this morning.